Blog Talk Radio.
You're bigger than the problem.
the devil. I know he's an opposer, so he's not going to tell me the truth. So anytime the devil tells me I'm not something, I always say I am that. Anytime the devil tells me I am something, I always say I'm not that. I know that God is bigger.
Good morning, good afternoon, and thank you for joining the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and you are listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. Today's song was You're Bigger by Jacqueline Carr, and I just want to take a moment to encourage you, wherever you are, whatever you are going through, God is bigger. God is bigger than every problem, every trial, every tribulation, and I pray that something said today on today's broadcast will encourage you. I do have a question for you. Do you have a God made you laugh testimony to glorify God and to show somebody that is going through how God brought you out of the darkness into his marvelous light? You see, we all have a God is bigger testimony. And one of the goals of the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network is to bring glory and honor to God. And God has given me this platform to honor my sisters in Christ that are doing wonderful things, to share their testimony. And this month we've had so many wonderful guests. And today I have a very special guest, and she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And her name is Claudia Lynch, and she is an attorney. And before I introduce her, I'm going to dedicate this poem and called that is called Enlarge Your Territory. Claudia is a very good friend of mine. She's also a colleague, but she is bigger and greater and has just had a wonderful impact on my life. So I want to share this poem, not just with her, but to all of the women that are listening, and even the men, because we don't want to leave the men out, but we are all bigger and better than everything that we have been going through. And the purpose of this poem is to encourage you to expand with your thinking, to expand with how you see yourself through God's eyes, because it's not about how we feel and it's not about our emotions, but it's about the word of God and knowing who we are and what he has called us to do. So, Claudia, the name of this poem is entitled Expansion. Expansion, the process of enlargement, to increase in size, to increase in wisdom, to increase in knowledge, to increase in understanding. My eyes are closed. As I inhaled, the aroma of rain filled my nostrils. Exhaling, I released the possibilities, gave my ability a responsibility to grow, to advance, to be fruitful and multiply, to flourish, to be strong, to be healthy, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and economically, wealthy, complete balance, prosperous. I feel a shifting taking place, an eruption of joy bubbling deep down inside. A decision was made to become financially and academically successful, to be full of good fortune, bountiful blessings, showers of blessings. The fragrance of the rain is an abundance of rain, plentiful, more than enough. Streams running into streams, running into the ocean, expanding, reaching out to those in need, sharing blessings unselfishly, meeting needs of those less fortunate, helping the widows, the needy, and the poor, helping homeless little boys and girls. Enlarge my territory, Lord, for such a time as this. And that is found, the inspiration for that poem is found in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, in the second verse, where God instructs us to enlarge our territory. So the reason I shared that poem, because it was lined up with the song Bigger. And I wanted to introduce my guest today in a bigger way through poetry, through the gift that God has placed inside of me to encourage others, because Claudia has been a great inspiration to me. And I would like to introduce her at this time. Claudia, how are you today?
Hello, Miss Stacy. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you for being such a blessing in my life. We're going to get started today. Thank you for the information that you forwarded to me. And I'm going to start by just reading a little bit of your bio, and then we're going to open up for discussion. But I'm going to go in and out of different parts, you know, while we're having our discussion. But
okay.
Claudia is an attorney, and she's also a mother, and she has also overcome and has many, many testimonies. So while we are highlighting her career, her successes, we will also talk about what it is to be a woman and to deal with everyday life situations. But most importantly, Claudia has so much information to share with you today that will encourage you to reach your goals. So if you are listening and you have a question for Claudia throughout the show, please press #1. And we will be more than happy to address your questions. And we will be providing Claudia's contact information as well. Claudia Lynch graduated from the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in 1994. Though law wasn't always at the forefront of her mind, after high school, where Claudia was designated the first ever student advisor to the principal, she went on to Howard University, intent on becoming a doctor. However, after seriously thinking her future career through, and after completing basic gross anatomy, Claudia's drive to become a doctor shifted to law. And she enrolled in John Jay, earning her degree in legal studies. After graduating from John Jay, Claudia was accepted into Pace Law. When choosing a law school, I was searching for a welcoming environment. The warmth and professionalism Angie D'Agostino and her team employed was a definite game changer. The serenity of the Peace Campus was a bonus. It was a place where Claudia began not only her legal career, but a career with the Army. While attending Pace, Claudia interned with the U.S. Army Judge Advocate General's Corps, JAG Corps, at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, and later received her commission as a first lieutenant attending the 147th Judge Advocate Officer Basic Course. Claudia is clear about how she feels about the experience she had at Pace. I did not have one bad professor at Pace. Each professor brought something unique to the classroom. My absolute favorites were Professors Ben Gershom and Randy McLaughlin. Both were incredibly demanding, yet I tried to take any class they taught. And I have become the attorney I am today, largely due to the discipline these two gentlemen instilled. After interning with Jack Corpse, Claudia was confident that it was the career path she wanted to pursue. Once she graduated from Pace, Claudia began as a legal services attorney with Jack Corpse. From 1998 until 2002, she continued to move up the ranks with Jack Corpse to manager of the Tax Assistance Center, chief of the Legal Assistance Division, and then Associated General Counsel. It was in 2002 that Claudia became a legal consultant, which offered her the opportunity to pursue a different aspect of law and also to travel. From 2002 until 2006, Claudia provided expert consultation and guidance to legal practitioners on matters related to military administrative law, civil litigation, real property, and landlord-tenant issues, and employee-labor relations. She continues her practice while residing in Tokyo, Japan, serving as a legal consultant nationally and internationally, gave her a completely new perspective on the law. It was eye-opening. So that is a little bit of Claudia's background. And I'm going to stop for a moment and turn the mic over to Claudia. And before I do so, her opening paragraph where she wasn't sure which direction she was going to go with school, because first she wanted to be the doctor, and then there was a shift and she wanted to become a lawyer. And sometimes when we set out to do something, things may happen and we say, okay, I'm not going to go in that direction. Let me change my field. But Claudia, sometimes with that, fear comes. And sometimes it's like, okay, there's going to be more dedication, there's more work I need to do. How challenging was it for you, knowing that you was on this path to be a doctor, and once you had that experience, it changed your whole path? So was that challenging for you? Were there any unusual struggles with that adjustment? And the mic is yours.
Thank you, Stacey. Thank you, first of all, for that awesome introduction and for that beautiful poem that you could not have known that the words that you spoke are completely in line with the direction God is having me to go right now. So I absolutely know that God is in the mix, and it's just another confirmation for me that I'm heading in the right direction. And that brings me to your question. You know, when I started, I've always known I wanted to be a doctor since I was a little kid, just going to the doctor's office and just being so impressed with their ability, you know, to touch people's lives and to heal. And so I thought that's what I wanted to do. And so growing up, that was always my focus. And so one of the things you said earlier about, you know, God making you laugh, that was my reality, because I had my own ideas of what I wanted to do. And God, I can just imagine him sitting there laughing at me saying, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead with that. You know, so I tried that, and I mean, nothing worked. All of my academic abilities that, you know, I thought I had, somehow when I got to college, none of that worked. Definitely not in terms of medicine. And so when I saw that my grades just weren't, you know, what they were supposed to be, and despite the hours I spent studying, nothing worked. And so I just had to stop. After 2 years, I just stopped and said, okay, Lord, you know, I need you to show me where I need to go. I need you to tell me what it is that I need to be doing. And I was completely lost. I remember when I went back to New York, I went to Howard University for my undergrad at first. And so when I went back to New York, I just had to sit. My mom couldn't understand why I came back home. I couldn't explain it. I just knew that I needed to just sit down and hear from God and get direction. Because the direction I was going in, I was just, you know, I kept hitting into a brick wall. And so I learned at that age, at about 19, to just sit and hear what God has to say. And I didn't know it was God speaking to me. I just knew. I've always gone to church. I've always been, you know, in tune to the fact that I need to have God in my life. But as a young person at 19, I'm not really consciously aware that I'm listening for God's voice, but I knew that I needed direction. I knew that I needed something or someone to show me the way besides, you know, what I wanted for myself. And I knew that that someone wasn't a person. It wasn't, you know, an individual. My mom couldn't tell me what I should major in. And so I just, you know, I followed the leading of my heart, and I just, you know, went to a college. I went to a community college, and I took basic, you know, business management, and just waited for God to reveal to me what he wanted me to do. And so one of the classes I took close to graduation, because I had no clue what I was going to do with a business degree, but one of the classes I took was business management. Within the business management major, one of my classes was business law. And so in taking business law, everything just became so, so clear to me. And so, you know, I just realized that that's where I needed to be. I didn't know why. But later on, as I, you know, was going through law school, I realized how much easier it was. So I went to John Jay, and the classes, you know, were difficult and required work, required effort. But somehow I was passing those classes with, you know, grades that were what I expected coming out of high school, you know, in honors classes. And so God just paved the way for me, right? It wasn't a struggle. I had to put effort in, but it was, my effort was being fruitful. So I knew that's where I needed to be. And so I've learned since that time to not try to, you know, create my own path necessarily, especially if I'm going against the grain, right? So I want to hear God's voice. I want to be mindful to what it is that I'm doing and make sure that it's lining up with his word and lining up with his desires for my life. And so I've seen where he's been able to use me in the law to help other people. And that's what my desire was when I wanted to be a doctor, was to help people, right? So I see later now that my desire is the same, but the way in which God used me is different. Right. So the heart he gives me for people is still there. My desire to help people is still there. So, but instead of helping people who are sick medically, I'm helping people who are sick in a legal sense, who have something going on in their lives in the legal arena. And the clarity that I can bring to a situation, or just the guidance I can bring, will help someone to get through that hurdle, get over that hurdle. And so God has been able to use me, I think, more effectively because I'm not struggling, right? Things just seem to be working out in my favor because he's going ahead of me and he's opening the doors. So when I went into the Army, that's the furthest thing from my mind that I wanted to do, but that's where he would have me to go. And so I've just been able to use the platform that he's given me to change lives, to impact lives, and I could not have foreseen for myself the things that he has allowed me to accomplish, the places he's allowed me to go, and the things he's allowed me to do. I could not have seen that for myself. But with just in keeping with his word, in keeping with his guidance, I'm able to impact
people in ways that I probably would not have had I continued doing things my way.
Thank you. That you really said a lot there, and I was taking notes so that I can, you know, dissect and ask a couple of questions. But what is standing out to me, Claudia, you are an attorney, but the Holy Ghost just gave me a new name for you. You are a legal doctor. You are a legal doctor. And, you know, when we go to the house of worship, the God's house should be a spiritual house. It's a spiritual hospital. And we go to get healed spiritually. So we go to the hospital when we're not feeling well to get healed physically. But you just said people that are sick in the legal arena, you help them get healed with their legal sickness. I love it. And when you said that, I wrote down legal doctor. So you are listening to the eloquent legal doctor, Claudia Lynch, who just shared an awesome testimony about her humble beginnings and how she changed her direction in school from wanting to be a doctor to switching over to be an attorney. Now, the one thing that is standing out to me, Claudia, is that your relationship with God is awesome. You knew that there was something that was missing, and you knew you couldn't get it from your mother. You knew there was nobody around, but you listened to that still small voice. And that's one of the things I love about you, because your relationship with God is just so unique. But as you continue to listen to him, he continued to enlarge your territory. He continued to lead you every step of the way, clear up to today. Now, one of the questions I have for you, we have a lot of young women today that are interested in pursuing higher education. Then we have some young women that are, I'm not going to say hindered, but they have some challenges because we have teenage pregnancy now, and then we have some situations where they have to help take care of older parents. So what advice do you have for a young woman, regardless of what the circumstances are? Because the one thing I really want to highlight throughout our time today is no matter what you're going through, God is bigger.
Amen.
It's going to take some discipline, it's going to take commitment, but if you really want to do this thing, you can do it. So what advice do you have for?
Absolutely. So my best advice is, you know, to keep God at the forefront of everything that you do, because honestly, without him in my life, without me having had that grounding, that foundation, I wouldn't be here with you today. I've been through some stuff. I've done some stuff, right, that growing up in New York, growing up in the quote-unquote hood, you know, you have associations that are not always healthy. And so I've come close, too close at times to death by, you know, the people that I associated with. And so what I would say to any young woman, you know, who's wanting more out of life is they have to see themselves outside of the situation that they're in right now, right? So where is it that you want to be? Don't think about what your circumstances are right now. Think about where it is that you want to go. Picture that. And now, you know, everyone's talking about dream boards and people use dream boards. That's an excellent way to have a visual. I visualize myself living someplace else besides in the projects of New York City. I visualize that. And so I was fortunate enough that, so I came from Jamaica. I was born in Jamaica. I came to the United States when I was 12 years old. So we lived where we could afford to live. at that time. Now, I was fortunate enough to have an aunt, my dad's sister, who lived out in L.A. And so on my the summer of my 13th birthday, I went and I spent that summer with her. And so I got to see a different lifestyle than, you know, what I had seen in New York City. And so, you know, she lived in a modest home in L.A., but while I was there with her, you know, she took me all around. I was driving around with her in Hollywood, and so I saw these fantastic homes, and I just thought to myself, oh, my goodness, wouldn't it be nice if I would be able one day to live in a place like this? So I saw at 13 another lifestyle, another way that people lived, and I knew that the circumstances I was in then isn't all that there was to life. And so that always motivated me. That trip to California, I remember it now, you know, as if it was just yesterday. I can still remember the things that I did, the places that I went to, and that experience with my aunt. But getting back to the struggle, I had my oldest daughter when I was 24. She was born in February, and I made 25 that July. And I was still in college. I was working in the daytime, and I was going to school at night. And so even though I knew I wanted to go to law school, I couldn't afford it. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And so I had to get through college, and I worked full-time in the daytime, and then I went to school in the evenings. And so I went part-time. It took me 9 years to complete my undergrad degree. I graduated 1985, and I graduated from high school 1985, and I did not get my bachelor's degree until 1994 when I left to go to law school. But during that time, I had a definiteness of purpose. I knew where I was going. I knew what I wanted to do. And I just, you know, kept plugging away at it. I could take two classes at a time because I was doing it at night. And so for a couple of years, I'm doing two classes every semester, two classes until I got through. And so I had my daughter in 1992, and I graduated in 1994. When I had my daughter, my oldest daughter, I had a renewed focus. Right? It was no more time to just be thinking about me and thinking about my career and what I wanted to do. I now had this little person who was depending on me. And so I had a increased drive to want to accomplish, to want to, you know, move out of the apartment building that I was living in, to want to be in a neighborhood where I didn't have to be afraid, you know, going home at night, whether I'd be shot or robbed or mugged or anything like that. So I saw something else. I knew that there was life outside of the urban environment that I was living in. And I just kept my focus. I kept God at the forefront, you know, just depending on him to get me through, because I knew I did not know how I was going to do it. I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. And so when I graduated from college, I stopped working because I knew I needed to do that. And I took out loans. I took out loans to go to law school because that's what I wanted to do. And that's how I was going to do it. I'm thankful that America is the type of country that will allow you to have the financial ability. You can get loans or grants to help you if you have the desire and you have the drive, you know, to achieve that goal. So I'm thankful, you know, to this country for the amazing opportunity. There are folks that are homeless right now who had the drive and you know, had the ambition, had the ability, but somehow did not find their way. So I don't take it for granted that God has blessed me to be where I am, because I know that there are many others who are, you know, even smarter than I am, who did not make it. Right. And to me, the only differentiator is just having God in your life, because when you have God, you have hope. Right. That's what faith is all about. You don't know how you know or why you know. You just know that you know. And I knew God had something big for me. and I'm on my way. I'm not there yet. So I'm at a crossroads right now where he is definitely telling me, okay, Claudia, it's time for you to step your game up. I need to enlarge your territory. So it's a little bit scary. I won't lie about that. But there's a shift now. It's time for me to do more. There's more people for me to reach. And so what I've done thus far, he's carried me thus far, and I know he's going to carry me further because he has more in store. There's bigger things that he wants me to do. So my encouragement to the young ladies out there is, you know, if there is something that you want to do, be praying about it, right? Make sure that that's where God wants you to be. And once you know that the desires line up with the word of God, then go for it. Just depend on him, and he's going to make the way. He's going to open doors. And when there is a door shut, God will open a window, and he'll show you how to make your way through.
Thank you. That is wonderful. And I just want to do a recap. So wherever you are right now, whatever you want to do, Claudia said, pray about it. And if your desire is, make sure your desire is lined up with the word of God. And Claudia, I believe that, you know, sometimes we're not taught and we have all of these desires. And sometimes we just want to, like when you open a bag of marbles, they just run, like roll all over the place. And sometimes our desires are like that. I want to do this. I want to do that. I like that. But we don't take the time and say, God, I want to line these marbles up. We're going to say the marbles are these desires. God, I want to line these marbles up, and I want you to show me which one of these desires are lined up with your word, which lined up with your will, your plans and purpose for my life. And that is so powerful, Claudia. And that's the best advice you can give to our young people today, and even for the older ones that are listening, pray about it. Seek God. Matthew 6:33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you know what? Sometimes we don't ask him, and we just go, and we do what we want to do, and then we miss the mark where that mistake comes in, and which I love God because he always give us makeup exams, and that's where we have. And where you talk about, you know, the dream boards, you know, sometimes we got to go back to that board and we need to rearrange some things. And that's why it's good to do, you know, you have the little Velcro where you could put, like, remember when in school and they could put the sun and the moon and you could just create whatever you want by just sticking it on the Velcro, or they have the marker.
Yes.
But you know what? Go back to that dream board. Rearrange that sun. Rearrange that moon. Get that eraser and erase all of those
right.
mistakes. And
but you know,
the
dream board really isn't new. The dream board, you know, they used to say go back to the drawing board.
Right.
There was always the intent that there's something, you're mapping it out. You got to make it visual, right? Write the vision, make it plain. You got to write it down or map it out where it is that you want to go, right? Put it on paper so you can see that. Yeah.
And that is so powerful. And that's, you know, everything we're talking about is like God is just giving me all these scriptures.
Because awesome.
In Habakkuk.
Awesome.
He said, write the vision and make it plain so that they that see it can run with it. So that's what you just advised our young girls that are pursuing higher education. And thank you so much for sharing your testimony. What part of New York did you grow up in?
I grew up in the Bronx.
Okay, Bronx in the house. I grew up in the Bronx, so I spent my summers here. Okay.
Oh, wow, nice. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. You know, and I'm fortunate. I never had any major problems, you know, while I was there.
Uh-huh.
I used to travel with my family and my mom. Like, they would take me, and I would stay with my aunt Janie. And when I got older, I was able to take the train myself and never felt.
Yes.
I always saw somebody get mugged. But, it, you know,
wow.
I never, but I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But then my, I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And then Claudia, my cousin, got his driver's license. So we didn't have to take the train anymore. But yes, I am aware. And I'm
yeah,
glad
I was,
God,
I was going to school at night. So I would get out of class with almost 10 o'clock sometimes. That
wow.
And you know, having to get home, walking home, where the community college I went to wasn't too far from my house, so I can walk home, you know, waiting for the bus. Sometimes it makes sense to just walk, you'll get there faster. And, you know, it's like taking your life in your hands every night.
Yes. You said you would get home 10 o'clock. So what time did your day start? Because you said that you worked a full-time job, and after work, then you went to school, and you had your first child.
Yeah.
So what kind of
work? Oh, my word. I don't even like thinking about it. I don't know how I survived some of that time. But I had to be at work at 8:30, and I would work until 5:30. And then I leave and get to class. Class would start about 6:30, and so 6:30 because it's a evening class. So they had to. The classes are a little bit longer, and so I would have two classes. So 6:30 till maybe about 8:30, and then the other one is 8:30 until 9:30, almost 10. So that's the time. I mean, then I, you know, leave, get home, and homework, reading, that type of thing. So a book was always with me. Wherever I went, I had a book with me, because that's, you know, just where I catch up on my reading whenever and wherever I could. So the ride on the subway was always beneficial in that regard. But then when I had my oldest daughter, then I had to drop her off at daycare first, and then go to work and school, then go pick her up from the daycare and come home. So there were long nights, long days, long nights.
And so what kind of support system did you have? And
so my family, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, my family was amazing. So my an aunt lives close by me, and she was a stay-at-home mom. So she worked at night, so she kept my daughter in the daytime. She would get a little bit of sleep and go to work at night. And then my cousins, when they came home from work, they would take over watching my daughter until I came to pick her up. And my mom was amazing. My mom and dad were both, you know, amazing grandparents, so they were always around and helpful in terms of taking care of my daughters. My second child I had when I was just about to finish law school. I had her in January, and I graduated in May of that year. So she's my law school baby. So both my girls I had while I was in school. And my second daughter, I actually had her, and I was back in school. I had her on the Wednesday, and the following Monday I was back to class. So,
wow.
You know, my kids have always just known me to be studying or doing something in furtherance of, you know, a goal. And I think they've, you know, missed out on time with me. And I don't really feel guilty about it because I don't dwell on things. You know, I do what I have to do. And then I have, you know, peace about it because I'm doing it for a bigger purpose, right? I wasn't just leaving them. I wasn't leaving them to go partying, right? I left them in good hands with family that I trusted, but to get an education in order to have a better life, that they can have a better life. And they were always my focus. It wasn't just about me. It's about the life that I needed for them. I needed to give them a different experience than what I had. And my mom gave me the best experience that she could based on what she had at the time. And she left Jamaica to come here to make a better life. So I know, you know, the sacrifice that she made. And so I just wanted to build on that. and give an example to my kids about, you know, hard work and dedication, and that there is a benefit at the end of that. There is a reward at the end of that hard work. So I make that time up now by traveling with them. You know, I like to travel, and my girls, I used to call them my handbags. One's my handbag and one's my hand luggage. Right, they go everywhere I go. And so now they're 26 and 21, but we still, at least once a year, we like to take a vacation together. So, you know, we just have that time to bond and just, you know, recharge and get to know each other again, because they're always changing. As they're growing, they're changing. So that's something that my mom did for me. She always, you know, I was always traveling. Mostly it was back and forth to Jamaica to get, you know, a stern talking to by my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But she gave me that opportunity to travel. And so that's, you know, one of the things that I keep up with my girls.
So did your daughters follow in your footsteps? With
You know, not one of them want to be a lawyer. Not one. So I think my dedication may have backfired just a little bit, because I am kind of driven and I'm dedicated to my work, and so I sometimes take work home. I'm a reader, so I'm always reading stuff. And so the last maybe 10 years or so, I've been with the Army. Even though I'm no longer in uniform, I still work with the Army. And so one of my coworkers, he had deployed. And so he was gone. He was a reservist. So he was gone for a little while. And so I picked up the slack by doing his job. And so I had to learn really his area of law, because that wasn't something that I had practiced, doing labor law that time. So I had to, you know, I was bringing books home, staying up late at night, reading and trying to understand all the things I needed to do to be competent to perform in that arena. So they've just seen me always reading and working and bringing stuff home. And I'm a hard worker. I like to have some rest and relaxation like anyone else, but I do work hard. And so I don't know if that scared them away, because my youngest daughter, you know, would tell me when I asked her if she had the desire to be a lawyer, she said, "Oh no, Ma, that's just too much reading."
And you know,
I think it's a different generation too. They're just they're just. Go ahead.
We're children, and I know your girls are adults now, but as parents, we watch our children develop, and we see gifts, we see talents inside of them, and it's our job to kind of like help develop them. But we're really archers. We are to put them in that bow, in that arch, whatever it's called, the bow, and pull that string back with that arrow, and let God launch them where they want to go.
Whatever decisions
that they make, we're there to support them through that process.
Right. So the one thing I've done with my girls is encourage them to you know, continue their education. They both have their associate's degree. My oldest, she's in retail management. She stopped at her associate's because she didn't see what she was going to get a bachelor's in. So I said, okay, fine. You know, what I want them to understand is that education is important. You know, it may not be necessary for every vocation, but I think it's necessary in that it builds character, right? Just the process of going through, you know, taking classes, you're learning something, first of all. And those things that you learn, it's going to have some application down the road. But I think it's kind of a basic, at least an associate's degree, you know, or a certification in something, I think it's important for them to have. So my oldest just told me that she figured out what she wanted to get her bachelor's in, something marketing and entrepreneurship. Okay, great. She's 26. She's had her associates now for about 4 years, but she's just now figured out what she wanted to get her bachelor's in. I support her wholeheartedly. And my youngest, she just got her associates this past summer, and she's not quite sure where she wants to go, what she wants to do. I said, okay, take a break. And, you know, live
live a little. You know, life will kind of open up for you and show you where your passion lies. But I'm always encouraging them to, you know, tap into that God-given gift, and God will reveal it to them because they'll have a passion for it. I have a passion for helping people. I hate to see people who are mistreated. I hate to see someone taken advantage of. And I didn't know as a kid growing up when I would get in fights because I'm defending a friend who was, you know, a little bit more quiet and someone was picking on them. I didn't know that was a desire that I'm acting on. I just thought, you know, I was the semi-bully, or I wouldn't let anyone else get bullied.
Right.
But that has shaped who I am today, right? I still have that desire to take up for the little guy who's being picked on. I still have that desire to protect the person who, you know, someone is taking advantage of because they think they don't have any resources. So right now I'm helping a lady from church who got fired from her job. And when I look at the circumstances why she got fired, she shouldn't have gotten fired, right? But the person who, you know, person in management, they just figure, oh, it's this lady, she's a child care worker, who does she know? She can just deal with her any way she likes because she thinks there's no consequence to it. Well, I took it so personally because she's such a docile person and just, you know, have that meek spirit about her that, you know, that's the type of person that someone will think can't fend for themselves because she,
right.
She's not the type to speak out. But someone that when she was on a detail because they were investigating the incident, she was working with a lady who had been referred to me through my personal business. And so this lady goes to my church, and I knew her, but she didn't even know I was an attorney. So she wouldn't have known to call me or to ask for my help, even if I passed her at church. She didn't know what I
right.
did. But another lady, the office that she was shunned and put sent to this other office, that lady had been referred to me by someone else who I work with. And so God knows how to make those divine connections. So although I went to church with this lady and she needed help, she would not have known that I could help her, except for the fact that she was put in another office with a lady who I had helped, and that lady suggested that she speak to me. So when they made they called me and I said, yeah, come on over, you know, we can talk about it. When they showed up and it's a lady from my church, we both like tears just came to our eyes. It was just,
you know,
amazing to me that God orchestrated that the way he did.
God is amazing. And he connects the pieces. We may not understand why we are at certain places at certain times, but God has a plan and a purpose for everything. And
absolutely.
When you was talking about, you know, your passion, Isaiah, the 61st chapter, was standing out to me, Claudia, even when you was a little girl. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to captives, and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come, in the day of his wrath to their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. For God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. Now you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and my featured guest today is Claudia Lynch, and she is an attorney, and she is also a legal doctor. And now I'm going to add on that she is also an advocate for social justice.
Amen.
And she cares about God's people. Now, Claudia, that's my gift to you today in Isaiah 61. And so with everything that you do and everything that you are about to do, because God is indeed enlarging your territory and he's opening up doors for you to do a greater work. So now we're going to transition into your business.
Okay.
And I want you to, with the introduction, with the advertisement for today's show, I wrote a couple of questions in regards to legal services with prepaid legal. And I had I asked the question, have you ever wondered if you needed an attorney? And if you are listening, if you have any questions, please feel free to dial in. Or if you're listening, press #1. But have you ever asked yourself, can I afford an attorney? And do you have a living will? Do you understand your legal rights if you were stopped by the police? There's so many questions that we have. Well, Claudia is an attorney, and she has her own business, and she specializes in employee benefits. So tell me about your business and the name of your business, what you do, and how people can connect to you. Please, with everything you're getting ready to say right now, please also share your contact information so that people can contact you, and also your website address.
Okay. So I'll tell you how it got started. So there's some context. Just a couple of years ago, there was a young lady that got killed. Now, we all are riveted by, you know, news reports of black and brown people getting killed whether by police or anyone else, but mostly by the police. You know, misuse of power is what I see it as. And so, you know, with varying degrees of callousness or carelessness, these lives are being lost. And so there was one in particular that just God just put that one on my heart so heavily, because I looked at her and I saw myself, and I saw my two daughters, I saw my aunts, I saw my cousins. You know, when it's men, somehow, you know, there can be the justification that, you know, there was some fear. The officer was in fear of his or her life. And so when it was a woman that got killed, I thought, well, you know, what fear could there have been? And the woman I'm talking about, your listeners may remember her. I don't ever want to forget that name, because she has just been my motivation, that I don't feel that Miss Sandra Bland should have lost her life, not based on the circumstances as I heard them to be. So this young woman had, I don't remember where she moved from, but she had moved to the state of Texas, and she had just gotten a job. That's why she moved there. So the story is that she failed to use her turn signal, and she got pulled over by the police. Well, the end of that story was that she was dead. And I just, for the life of me, I couldn't understand how a traffic stop ended up with this young woman being dead. And so the picture of her face just did something to me. My heart was broken. And I sat at the side of my bed, and I was watching the news. And, you know, I just said to myself, Lord, what can I do? You know, when I went into the practice of law, I did that thinking I was going to help people and wanting to help people. And I see so much injustice still going on in the world. And I just, you know, I asked myself a question. I was, you know, just broken up about it. And I audibly just asked myself a question like, Claudia, what are you doing? What are you doing about this? You know, what can you do about it? And I just prayed at the side of my bed where I sat. I just prayed. I said, Lord, show me a way. Show me how I can make a difference. Show me how I can impact lives, that I can help people to not go through this. Because, you know, after someone's dead, there's nothing you can do, right? And so
I needed to just see how I can be a part of the change. And not long after that, I heard about a company. The company's name is Legal Shield. And it was a colonel that I was working with at the time. I was just telling her about the fact that a lady at church needed a will done. She was terminally ill, and her daughters were looking for someone to do a will for them, and someone referred them to me. And I couldn't do the will because I'm licensed to practice in the state of New York. I can work in Virginia only because I'm working with the federal government, and we're allowed to work, you know, in whatever location the federal government may be with a state license. So there's an exception carved out that allows me to work in the state of Virginia. But I couldn't do the will for her, and I was just a little bit broken up about that. And so I just mentioned that to the colonel before we started our meeting, and she said, oh, you know, I have this membership with Legal Shield, and they do wills and power of attorney and all that stuff. She should get that membership. And it was not a lot of money. And I thought, wait a minute, Legal Shield, I've never heard of this thing. So while that same evening I got home, and I pulled out my iPad and I just started doing some research. And so I'm reading about this Legal Shield and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, why didn't anybody tell me about this? I can think of the tens of people that, you know, have asked me for a referral or to, you know, point them to an attorney, different situations, landlord, tenant, housing, marital issues, all types of things, and I've never really known the attorneys I'm referring them to. I would just, you know, get a referral from the legal assistance office where I worked. And so I thought, this is an amazing opportunity, amazing service that the company provides. So after seeing what Legal Shield does and how they work, I just knew that this is what God had provided. That prayer that I prayed that afternoon while I sat on the side of my bed, wanting to be able to be an agent of change for the injustice that I saw going on, this company would allow me to do that. And so what Legal Shield does is they have law firms in every state of the U.S., and if you're a member of Legal Shield, you're assigned to that law firm. So whenever you have a legal issue, you can call the law firm and you can have your questions answered. They'll make phone calls on your behalf if the situation warrants it. They'll write a letter on your behalf. So I had a situation where I was overcharged for a hotel stay. I was double charged. Basically, I called the hotel. They couldn't do anything about it because I booked through Priceline. So I called Priceline. They said they couldn't do anything about it. The hotel would have to make that decision. So I was getting the runaround. Well, fortunately, I had just recently signed up to be a member of Legal Shield. And so I called the law firm. They sent a letter on my behalf to Priceline, used the same information that I gave them, same information that I had been getting the runaround about. When a lawyer sent the letter on my behalf on a letterhead from a law firm, it made a whole 180 difference. So the runaround I was getting, I got a response with a check with the reimbursement for my double, the fact that I was double billed. So I saw the power that the membership gave folks. And I know that there are people every day who are taken advantage of. But what really impressed me about the service is that, first of all, it comes with an app, so you can have the ease of access right from your smartphone. Within that app is a emergency access number, an emergency access feature. So I thought about it. I said, my goodness. Now, if Sandra Bland was a member of Legal Shield, when she was stopped by the police officer for whatever reason, if she had this app, she could have pulled out her phone, called the emergency access line and said, hey, I've been stopped by the police officer. When that officer came to her car, instead of Sandra Bland having a conversation that turned into a confrontation with that officer, what if she said, "Officer, my attorney's on the line. I don't know why I was stopped. You can speak with my attorney." How differently could that have turned out? She may be with us here today, right? So I saw this service as an opportunity to put the power of having the ability to contact a lawyer at a moment's notice, to put that power in the hand of every man, woman, and young person who's out there driving, walking, riding their bikes, walking to the store to get Skittles, right? This is something that has the potential to change lives. I was blown away. And so my business on the employment benefit arena is I've taken the service that Legal Shield provides, and I've created my own business. It's called Employee Benefits Legal Solutions. And what I do is partner with Legal Shield. I'm not doing anything unique. I'm not doing anything different. All I'm doing is connecting people with this service. So the thing that I have to do now, being faithful and obedient to God's word, is now I have to leave my job, right? So the security that I've built for the last 20 years I've been affiliated with the Army, I have to step away from that because I need to focus on the ability that I have here to touch many, many more people's lives than what I'm doing right now. So what I'm doing is great, and I try to impact lives in what I do daily, but I'm not touching as many people as I could if I'm providing Legal Shield or the resource of Legal Shield to a wider audience. So I'm stepping out on faith, and I'm following God's guidance, and I have to leave that paycheck, the security of that paycheck behind, but I know that he is faithful. I know that if he calls me to do something, he's going to provide me the resources to do it. So I am confident that God will provide. I have no doubt about it. He has provided before, right? And so I have, I'm not like those who don't have faith who have to wonder. I have seen him provide for me before. I have seen him, take care of bills when the numbers did not add up. So I know that he is able and that he will do that which he says he will do. So I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to launch full-time in my business. And I focus on employee benefits because I can reach a wider audience. So while I do still market the service to individuals, family members, I think if I go to a company that has, 50, 100 employees, I can spend the same amount of time, energy, and effort and reach a wider number of people. So I'm putting in those hands that same power that I have in my hands, that my girls have, because I can sleep better at night when I know that my girls have the ability, if they're ever stopped by the police, they can get their smartphone out. They always have those phones anyway, get their phone out, and they don't have the right to call mom. The Miranda rights is you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney, right? So even though mom's an attorney, calling mom, they're not going to think of me as an attorney. They'll want to call mom. They won't have that ability. But if they know, and I beat that into their heads, remember your app. Make sure if anything happens, you get stopped by the police, you use that app. So I can rest a little bit more knowing that when they're out there, I can't be with them everywhere they are, but they can have the power of the Legal Shield service at their fingertips. I don't just want that for my girls. I want everyone to be able to have that. Whether you're male, you're female, whether you're young, you're old, because it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody.
And on that note, Claudia, because that was a lot of information you just shared, and I do Can you elaborate more on the employee benefits? Because I don't want people to think that it overrides the benefits that they have with their employer, but this is like extra benefits. But I don't want to mess it up. That's your specialty.
Right, right. So so employee benefits is a wide area, right? So when people hear employee benefits, the first thing they think about is healthcare, right? So healthcare is a benefit that the employer provides. But basically the employer can provide pretty much anything that's, you know, could be beneficial to the employee. And so I state the reason why I focus on the employee benefit arena is because it has just larger, you can reach a larger number of people with less effort. But there's a benefit both to the employee and to the employer. And so it's a voluntary benefit, so the employer can choose to offer it, and the employee can choose to take advantage of it. So it's not something that the employer is required to provide. So it's not health, it's not dental, you know, that's the standard thing. So it's one of the voluntary benefits. So we do both legal coverage, and we do identity theft coverage. So what that does is just, it helps the employees to be able to take care of those things that, you know, when life comes their way, they have a resource to be able to help them navigate through those things. So you say legal doctor. So these are things, these are prescriptions, right, for the legal things in life. And so what it does is help the employer by reducing absenteeism. So when I got a ticket, speeding ticket, I'm driving to North Carolina for some fabulous chicken and waffles, but I got a ticket because I wasn't paying attention. I was fiddling around with my GPS, and the speed limit had changed, and I hadn't realized. So got a speeding ticket, no issues, very respectful to the officer because, you know, I was wrong. I was speeding. I can't lie. And so, you know, the officer comes to my car and said, you know what, officer, you got me. You know, I was speeding. By the time I realized I was speeding, I saw you. You and I, we both knew I was speeding. And so very respectfully, accept my ticket. I didn't have to fuss with him. You know, I don't know what that ticket was going to cost, you know, whether I had the money for it. But I'm not going to argue with him right there, right? He's doing his job. Going to take that ticket. And I called my law firm, and I send the ticket to them. So I didn't have to take a day off to go back down to wherever I was. You know, you're just driving. You don't know where you are. But I would have to go back there to go and deal with that ticket at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I didn't have to take that day off of work to go to the court date. I had an attorney who went on my behalf and negotiated a plea agreement where they, instead of a reckless driving or whatever it was pled down to a defective equipment. I don't know what equipment was defective. I told the attorney what happened, you know, that I was fiddling around with my GPS. So I don't know if he used that, and, you know, but they did their thing, and he sent me a letter letting me know the charges were dropped and that I just had to pay court costs. So, you know, that is a benefit to me because I have the peace of mind of not having to worry about, you know, going, driving back a couple hours to go take care of a speeding ticket. And I didn't have to just pay the ticket, which is what, you know, people would normally do, especially when they're driving. But I know that there's a side effect, if you will, of paying that ticket, because if you admit to reckless driving, then your insurance goes up. And so it's not just a matter of paying that ticket right then and there, or, you know, sending in a payment for that ticket. But when you plead guilty to the offense as charged, then it has that potential to affect your insurance. So when your insurance goes up, it's going to go up, you know, for the next couple of years, for several years before they reevaluate, or, you know, it may lower your premium again. So I knew that there was the potential to have that negative financial impact that I did not want. And so just for employers, I showed them how these voluntary benefits help help them by them helping their employees. So I just think an employee who has the peace of mind of being able to take care of their legal issues, being able to, you know, have a resource to call if they feel they're being treated unfairly, if they're being overcharged for something, if their child, God forbid, gets arrested, you know, they know they have a resource that they can tap into. They're not missing work, or they're not at work and distracted by these things that's going on. You're not in the workplace, you know, upset about these things that's going on in your personal life and then arguing with your coworkers. So it just, it helps a multitude of things, right? And something that seems so simple. The Legal Shield service for in most states is no more than $25 a month. When that was the game changer for me, because I know the attorneys that I deal with on the civilian side in the Virginia Beach area, the hourly rate is $450. In D.C. it's more than that, and in New York it's much more than that. So if you, as a regular person, want an attorney, I don't know how, you know, what finances are these days, but I want to venture to say not a lot of people have a couple hundred dollars just sitting around waiting to go give to an attorney to help them, you know, in a situation. So most times people will just take the most cost-effective route. Sometimes, and sometimes it's just dealing with the issue, or, you know, paying the bill, paying the ticket. But we're not always thinking about how much it's going to cost down the road in other areas. So for me, the ability to go to an employer and say, hey, here's a service. Here's what the service does. Here's how it benefits your employees. And, oh, by the way, it helps you by reducing absenteeism and increase productivity, decrease employee stress. So it's a win-win. And it's not costing the employer because they offer the service to their employees. The employee can voluntarily choose to take part in the service. They pay for it. But because the employer offers it, they're given a discount based on the size of the company. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Okay, so whoever decides to participate with this extra benefit, they would pay a monthly fee, but they would also have access to attorneys that can assist them with whatever legal issue or legal sickness they're dealing with at the time. And you also offer services for identity theft, which a lot of people,
yes, ma'am,
are really aware. I mean, it's just on the rise right now, Claudia. So many people credit.
Facebook, 50 million folks, that's what they tell us, 50 million. I heard it's,
wow,
more, it's closer to like 87 million. So if you're on Facebook, you can go ahead and say your information has been compromised. How,
wow,
many people log into Facebook through other apps, or their access to other things are connected through Facebook? There are people who, you know, use PayPal through Facebook, or, you know, it's, everything is connected. Everything is connected. It's the good and the bad part about the internet. Everything's connected. And so when your information is compromised, you may not know right away how that information is being used. And these crooks are savvy. They're not going to use it right away when there's a lot of buzz about it. They'll hunker down and wait, right? So I was unfortunate enough to have my identity compromised. This was years before I knew anything about Legal Shield, but I got my had my driver's license got lost one night. I was coming from school. I was in law school at the time. I was in my first year at law school, and I lost my license. So I got it replaced. I lost my wallet. So I got everything replaced, credit cards reissued and all that. And for 3 years, everything was great. And then while I was studying for the bar exam, I got a knock on my door. One of my neighbors in the building said, hey, I think they're towing your car. I rushed out, and sure enough, there was a police officer there with a tow truck about to get my car jacked up. I said, wait, what's going on? Why are you towing my car? He said, yeah, we were going around checking license plates, and yours came up as a collateral plate. I said, collateral plate? Now, I've heard of collateral damages. I heard about collateral when, you know, I was studying contracts, but I didn't know what this collateral plate he was talking about. So I said, what are you talking about? He says, yeah, well, you have another car registered in your name that has $1,500 worth of tickets. So we can't find that car, but we found this car, so we're taking this car. I said, whoa. I can't hardly afford one car, let alone two. Where's this other car? Like, what car are you talking about? And he told me it was a Cutlass, an Oldsmobile something. I said, I'm looking at him. Now, my diva came out because I had a little Nissan Stanza that, you know, you can hardly find parking in New York for a little car, let alone this. I'm picturing this big monstrosity of a car. And so I looked at him. I said, dude, do I look like I can drive a Oldsmobile? Like, where am I going to park that? I said, you know what? Well, that may be the issue, because this person who has this car in my name is parking it wherever they want to and racking up tickets. And it's in my name, but at a different address. So I got my car towed. The police officer said, well, you know, did you ever lose your driver's license or anything like that? Because this car is registered in your name. It dawned on me, you know what? I did lose my license like 3 years ago. He said to me, did you get a police report? I said, you know what? I did. Luckily, only God, right? Because I didn't really lose anything, but because I knew my license was out there, so I just took that precaution. And so I did have a police report. And he told me, take that police report. He gave me an address. He said, take it here. They will put a notation in the DMV record that your information was compromised and that car doesn't belong to you. They'll release your car with no cost. Well, that's great. However, I lost 1 week of preparing for the bar exam. That 1 week threw me completely. So I did not pass the bar exam the first time I took it, because I was stressed out after having that experience, and I had given up. I just gave up. And when I called the folks who ran the bar exam, they said it was too late for me to cancel taking the exam, so, you know, I wouldn't get my money back. Well, I said, if I'm not going to get my money back, I might as well take it. So I have that personal experience of the effect that, you know, a stolen identity can have. That's a mild one. I mean, it's big to me, but, you know, maybe mild to others. I have another example of one of the commanders that I worked with a couple years ago. He came to me because he got called by the special investigative unit in a state, I think somewhere in the Midwest, I forget what state. But there was a young lady who had gone to the police because there was a guy who she thought was scamming her, and she had sent him over $75,000. Now, I don't understand how you don't know someone and you send them $75,000. I don't understand it, but it happens. So this lady had sent this guy $75,000 over a period of maybe about 9 months. With the, you know, he was giving her different stories of, you know, things he was going through for her and asking for her help. The stories he was giving her were compelling. They, you know, he was like being kidnapped and all types of things. But what that guy did, what that person, I don't know who it is, but what that person did was use photos of my commander. And so they were pretending to be a military officer, and using the goodwill of, you know, military service to gain the people's trust and swindle them out of money. And this woman had lost over $75,000, was her life savings. Her life savings. So I know, you know, just from the interactions I've had with people seeking my help or advice over the years, I know just how impactful these legal issues can be on someone's life or their livelihood. And so I see, you know, saw immediately how powerful this service
is and the things it can do to help people. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. We're coming to the end of the show, and I'm going to ask you, Claudia, if you could come back on again, because there's still so much more that we need to cover. And I want to ask you right now. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm excited. I want to ask you to provide your contact information so that those that are listening that would like more information can contact you.
Absolutely. So I have an 800 number for the company. It's 1-800. Actually, I think it's not 800. It's some other number. Hold on. Let me verify that. But my email, the best way to reach me by email is Claudia Lynch 721@gmail.com. Again, Claudia Lynch 721@gmail.com. And my website with Legal Shield is claudialynch.wearelegalshield.com. Again, Claudia Lynch dot wearelegalshield.com. And my toll-free number is 833-469-3257, 833-469-3257. And the phone number is actually for my employee benefit legal solution. So 4MYEBLS, 833-4MYEBLS. Those are the best ways to contact me.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for providing your contact information, for sharing your testimony, for encouraging us today. It's like I don't want to go. I have to go to work today. But this has been very informative, because you went from, I shared your bio, which is incredible. You have accomplished so much. But what I love the most is you became transparent and you shared your humble beginnings, and you know, you're from Jamaica and you grew up in the projects, and you did not allow your circumstances to dictate to you who you were going to become. And with all that you have accomplished, Claudia said, although I accomplished these great things, I have not reached my pinnacle yet. So you are on yet another journey in which I believe you're going to do greater works. And I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited for you. And I look forward to bringing you back on the show. And I do want to introduce you to Dr. Stefania Forte. She has an education foundation for girls in Liberia. And some of the things and I know we talked about it, but some of the things you said today was directly related to her interview yesterday.
Oh, wow.
That we had. So amazing. I definitely want to connect you two ladies and possibly bring you two on together so that we can, have a roundtable discussion.
Awesome.
So if anyone is listening and you want to get in contact with Claudia, she did provide her contact information, and she did share the business side of Legal Shield for employee benefits and legal solutions. And if you would like information on legal services, please get in contact with me as well. And I will be more than happy to assist you with that process with Claudia's help. And we are so excited about this opportunity to introduce you to the legal doctor today. So as we close, do you have a legal sickness today? Do you have a situation where you need an attorney and you do not have the finances? Do you need financial advice? This is a wonderful service. A lot of times we go to lunch, we spend $5 a day, and that's $25 right there. Claudia's business will help you. So please take the time. I'm going to put the playback on Facebook, and I will place the playback on Twitter. But for those that could not make it today, I will, you know, make sure that you get a copy of the playback. And please write down any questions you have, because she provided a lot of information today. The purpose of this broadcast was to introduce you to Claudia and to provide information for you to get healed legally and not be in the situation where you think you can't do something because you don't have the money. So, Claudia, your testimony about the young lady, that really touched me. And out of everything, when you were talking today, I felt your heart, the passion. So it's like that is your desire to see people protected.
Yeah,
and it really hit home, because the cops have stopped me like 4 times this year for no reason at all, and nothing happened, you know. But that's something to think about. So I'm, you know, I'm glad. Thank you for introducing me to Legal Shield, and I'm glad to be, you know, a part of the team. And we will. I'm going to let you have closing remarks, and then we're going to end for today. And I'll contact you off, you know, off the air, so that we can reschedule our next appointment.
Okay.
To bring you on the show.
I'm truly just always humbled, you know, when God gives me a platform, because I don't take that lightly. I think it comes with the responsibility. Right. And I believe God always prepares us for that which he would have us to do. So, you know, the Claudia personally, I don't necessarily enjoy talking to an audience or talking about myself. That's never been my thing. But, you know, it's so much easier when I know that it's not about me. The things I share because my testimony is going to help someone else. So if there could be any positive out of this entire time together, if I could have touched one person, inspired one person, then this was time well spent. If there's someone who, you know, had a desire in their heart for wanting to help people, didn't know how to do it, or didn't believe in themselves, you know, my charge to you is let God guide you, right? If he gives you the desire, he's going to place the opportunity for you, right? Equip you, first of all, and then put you in the situation where those gifts and those talents are going to be used for his glory. And so, you know, I'm humbled by the fact that God chooses to use me, right? But I charge you to just continue to be obedient to what thus says the Lord. So if God has something for you to do, even if you don't think you can do it or you don't think you'd be good at it, move out of the way. Move out of the way and let God empower you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. You would be amazed at the things that we're able to do when we move ourselves out of the way. I thank you so much, Miss Stacy, for the opportunity. And I just, you know, for your ministry, that God continues to allow you to use this platform for his glory.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, everything we did from the beginning to the end was lined up with the opening. And you closed
yes,
it with
ma'am.
That awesome testimony. And I'm like, wow, God, I love you so much. And I know that everything, Claudia, that has taken place in your life, and I'm speaking life to you now, because you're going to be successful. I know that it's scary. You've accomplished so much, and to walk away from that and start your own business. Listen, I just see God opening doors for you, and it's enlarged, sister. Take that curtain and just go look in the spirit. take it from Virginia and go all the way over to the state of Washington, because God is about to enlarge. And, you know, just take it as far as you want it to go. But he is not going to allow you to be as successful as you have been and get to this place and leave you. So,
he has
a plan and he has a purpose for you. But your testimony surely has encouraged someone today. In Revelation 12, 10 and 11, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Lord God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." So
Amen. We
thank God for using your testimony for his glory. Because somebody is going to hear this and they're going to be encouraged, Claudia. And they're going to go back to that. They're going to go back to that dream board. They're going to rearrange some things. They're going to get rid of some things because of what you shared. So I thank you so much. Powerful, powerful testimony. And if you are listening and you have a testimony, please get in contact with me, because this is not my radio show. This is God's radio show. And the purpose is to open up the doors for those that want to share their testimony to encourage another person. And it's also an opportunity to network. We can be successful all day long, but if we're not helping our fellow man, how successful are we? And through this broadcast, you heard Claudia's heart. You felt the passion and the fire in her voice to help her fellow man. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Stacey Lunsford. You are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My guest today was Claudia Lynch, and she will be coming back with more information. Please get in contact with her. We thank you so much, and enlarge your territory and prepare for the things that you have been asking God to do for you. And do not expect God to do what he has empowered you to do. So you got some homework.
Amen. Oh,
so God bless.
Praise God.
No, go ahead. Get your praise in right there, because he's speaking. You know, and that's for all of us. You know, people, Claudia, people love to say, "I'm waiting on God." No, God is not waiting. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting for
God
us.
What has God told you to do? That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
He
and
said,
God's
faith
not going to give
work.
You another instruction. Yeah, he won't give you. He won't give you another word until you've obeyed the one he told you last.
Now say that again, Claudia.
I said God won't tell you anything else until you have obeyed what he already told you to do.
Amen. And that means even if you are afraid, get up and do it anyhow.
Right.
A lot of times fear will stop people from moving forward, but you're right. You know, we keep asking, and God is saying, and I don't know who the Holy Ghost is talking to, but God is saying, you didn't do the first three things I asked you for.
That's right. That's right.
And now you asking for three more? No.
That's right.
All right. Well, God bless you, Claudia. I will speak with you soon, and everyone have a wonderful day.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.